Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
It is not an easy thing to receive criticism, rebuke, or reproof from another person. Being critiqued at work, or being criticized by your spouse, or being reproved by a preacher are all hard to take. It is difficult to admit that we have failed or we did wrong. The tendency is for us to find some way to defend ourselves. We are tempted to retaliate and find fault in the one who criticized us. But we need to understand that when we are criticized or rebuked, there is a right way to receive it and there is a wrong way to receive it. The Bible gives us instruction about how to receive reproof, rebuke, and correction. And so on the program today, I want to talk about what the Bible says about how we should respond when someone comes and reproves us or rebukes us. Now, I want to emphasize, I am not talking today about how one should give reproof, rebuke, and correction. Now, that is important and a lesson within itself. But today, I am talking about how one should receive reproof, rebuke, and correction. I may not like the way someone criticized me. I may think he should have approached me in a different way and need some reproof himself. And that may be true. But that is beside the point for our lesson today. What I want to talk about today is when someone approaches me with criticism, reproof, rebuke, or correction, how should I receive it? What does the Bible say? Well, first of all, the Bible teaches that reproof and correction are necessary if we are to be wise and to grow in understanding and wisdom, if we are to be what God wants us to be. Proverbs 15, verses 31 and 32 says, "The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding." Proverbs 13, verse 18 says, "Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored." In Psalm 141, verse 5, the psalmist says, "Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness, and let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil, let my head not refuse it." Notice also in these passages we read that the one who rejects instruction and correction despises his own soul, and to him poverty and shame will come. And so when someone comes to us with legitimate reproof and correction, it is a good thing. Reproof and correction are what we need if we're to be wise and to be what God wants us to be. It is important that we receive it properly. What I want to do today is to look at some individuals mentioned in Scripture who were reproved or rebuked and consider how they responded, and then look at some lessons that we can learn from these stories. First of all, let us consider Cain and how he received God's rebuke. The story of Cain and Abel is recorded in Genesis chapter 4. Beginning with the latter part of verse 2, it says, "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Notice, God was pleased with Abel and his offering, but he was not pleased with Cain and his offering. And God made it known to Cain that he was not pleased with his offering. Well, how did Cain respond? Well, the text says, "And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." It goes on to say, "So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, and you should rule over it.'" Now notice, God is the one who reproves Cain. And God is basically saying to Cain, if you do wrong and do not respond to reproof and correction in the right way, if you do not make the proper changes, Sin is ready to pounce on you and rule over you. Don't let that happen. God says you should rule over it. But Cain does not properly receive God's instruction. He later murdered his brother. Sin took dominion over Cain because he did not properly receive God's rebuke. Well, Cain had the perfect critic, God. And God is always right. God's Word is the perfect critic. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Notice, two reasons the Scriptures were written were for reproof and correction. The Scriptures were given to us to reprove us, that is, to bring to light our sins and to correct us. And so when someone comes to you with the Word of God and reproves you for what you have done, it is God that is reproving you. It is God who is correcting you. How I respond to that reproof and correction will determine whether or not sin will take dominion over me or not. The example of Cain teaches us that legitimate rebuke unheeded leads to the dominion of sin. And secondly, let us look at the rich young ruler and how he responded to reproof. Now this man came to Jesus, and Mark records in Mark 10 that the man knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That's Mark 10, verses 17 through 22. Now, all indications are this young man genuinely wanted to know what to do to have eternal life. And he evidently was a good moral man. But there was one aspect of his life that needed changing. And Jesus brings this fault in his life to his attention. You see, Jesus is his critic. Jesus is essentially saying to him, "Your material possessions are too important to you, and you've got to give them up." His priorities being misplaced made him unfit for the kingdom of God and for eternal life. And so Jesus tells him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Well, the young man did not receive it well. It says that he went away sorrowful. Well, what do we learn? Well, we learn that we need to be open to look at ourselves in every aspect of our lives. We may be doing what is right in many areas of our lives, like this rich young ruler, but wrong in other areas. We may be blind to our faults in these areas. Well, we need someone to reprove us. Because we want to change where we need to change, and because we want to be right with God, and since we may be blind in those areas where we need to change, we need someone who has the courage to come to us and to bring to light the faults in our lives. In other words, we should be willing to receive reproof and correction in those areas in which we are lacking. Am I willing to receive reproof concerning how I am disciplining my children? Or how I treat my wife? Or how I spend my money? I may not like someone correcting me in these areas, but if that is the area of my life in which I am lacking, not only should I be willing to receive correction in those areas, but I should yearn for it. I should desire that someone come and reprove me in these areas. But then thirdly, let us look at David and how he responded to rebuke. You remember David committed the sin of adultery and murder. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. She became pregnant as a result. And to cover up his sin, he had Bathsheba's husband murdered. And then he took her to be his wife. Well, Nathan the prophet came to David and rebuked him. Nathan began by telling David a story. He told him that there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And Nathan goes on to say, "And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." Well, when David heard this, he was very angry and said, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." That's 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 7. Now, David easily saw the sin in another man and was ready to render judgment on him, but he had refused to own up to a similar sin in his own life. You know, this is often true with us. We can easily see the speck in our brother's eye, but refuse to acknowledge the log in our own eye. Read Matthew 7, verses 3 and 4. And why is that? Well, it may be because we let our own selfish interests confuse the plain distinction between right and wrong. For example, one may condemn the practicing homosexual, acknowledging that is sin, but at the same time refuse to acknowledge his sin of sleeping with his girlfriend. One may condemn the bank robber, but at the same time steal from a company by filing a false insurance claim. When we do these things, we need someone to reprove us, to rebuke us. Now, when Nathan rebuked David, David repented. He said, "I have sinned against the Lord." 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. David does not get angry with Nathan, who rebuked him. David could have had Nathan killed. You see, he is the king. David does not harden his heart and rationalize his behavior. He does not try to put the blame on Bathsheba or on God for giving him his sexual desires. David rather takes personal responsibility for his own actions. And with a humble, contrite heart, he repents of his sins and seeks God's forgiveness. Read Psalm 51. Well, this is how we should respond when someone comes to us and reproves us of our sins. The next time someone comes to you with criticism or rebuke, do these things. Number one, ask yourself whether the criticism or rebuke contains any truth, and be honest. Number two, ask God to help you to remove any pride that would cause resentment toward the one who criticized. And number three, remember that the one who has criticized you does not begin to know the worst about you. And number four, if you have done wrong, humbly and frankly confess it, and seek God's forgiveness in the way that He has commanded. And also confess it to anyone you may have injured and seek their forgiveness. And number five, remember you're not infallible and that you need God's grace and wisdom. God has given you His wisdom in His Word, the Bible, and He has also given you others to help bring this wisdom to your attention. Be willing to listen to them. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. But before we close, we would like to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.